And I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. It was just crazy. We looked at each other like, what?
Are we really ready for this moment? Like, we were so excited and like we knew it was gonna happen. But then in that moment of like, holy cow, like this is actually happening.
I took that onesie and I made a cute little sign that said, hi, daddy, I can't wait to meet you. And I put the positive test and I laid it all out on our dining room table. And then I sat for like 2 hours.
You've landed on the From Bumps to Birth podcast. I'm your host, Ricky Hamley. As a crazy mom of six and a diehard birth geek, I created this space for parents to come and share their unique journeys to parenthood. Whether it's been smooth sailing or bumps along the way, there's no journey alike. So help me in honoring these stories and sit back, relax, and let your inner birth geek indulge.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today we have Rita Fulkerson with us, and she is going to be sharing two of her birth stories, or her two birth stories, I should say. So without further ado, Rita, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Do you want to tell us about yourself and your fam?
Hi, yes. Thank you for having me. My name's Rita, as you've already said, and I'm married to Wes, and we have our son and daughter, Caleb and Vera. We are a Christian family, and I'm a stay-at-home mom. My husband's an author, and our lives are always very interesting because of that combo. So, and even more interesting in 2020.
I bet. Well, you can just go ahead and start wherever you see fit.
Okay. So my son is 2.5 now, and he was born in April 2018. And my daughter is now 4 months old. She was born June of this year. He was born April 19th and she was born June 20th. So I always like that it's easy to remember because it's just 19 and then 20. But when I first found out I was pregnant with my son, I was in Arizona. I'm actually living in California right now. So we were out of town. I found out I was pregnant. And we were like really trying. I'm a pretty young mom, I think, in today's age. So it obviously just happened because it was, you know, I'm young and my body was able to do that, I guess. So I found out I was pregnant and I didn't actually believe the pregnancy test. It was so faint on the line. I didn't believe it. I was like, no, it's wrong. It's faulty. And my husband's like jumping around so excited. And I just am like, I'm not pregnant. Like, I'm not pregnant. And he's like, no, Rita, look at the instructions. We are pregnant. We're having a baby. So it took me a couple days to like wrap my head around like, okay, I guess I am. Cause I wasn't having any symptoms whatsoever. And then fast forward through my pregnancy, it was pretty easy for the most part. I didn't really have any complications. I'm generally a pretty healthy person. I work out and all that. Obviously, the morning sickness was rough. You get that break in the second trimester, and then third trimester comes around, you start feeling fat. You're just like, when is this going to end? just a side story, my mom was not in the same town as me. She moved across country. And so she did that before I ever got pregnant with my son. So she just wasn't around and she just wasn't in a position to try and make it out here. So I was just racking my head on like, who would I have with me for my birth? I was really nervous. I felt like a little unequipped. My husband's mom is real. So my mother-in-law, she's really amazing and I love her so much. It's actually like, I have a really great relationship with her, but even then, like I wasn't totally comfortable with the idea of someone being in the room with me, like giving birth and just having everything out there. And I ran into an old friend of ours from a job that my husband had earlier that year. and she was on her journey to being a doula. So she was still working on her certification, but she offered herself to me. And I just felt a really close connection with her, almost like a motherly connection. And so I just feel like the Lord really put her in my life so that she can be a support to me, and that she, I could, someone I can look to, someone who has more understanding, because I'd never gone through anything like birth before. So within like the last 3 weeks of my pregnancy, I called her just like out of the blue and just like, you know what, I don't know who I can have there with me. Will you be there for my birth? And she was just ecstatic and really excited to be there. So I, the morning of going into labor with Caleb, I didn't really have like crazy Braxton Hicks with him. It was just pretty easy breezy for the most part. I was a week late and I woke up right at 6 a.m. to my first contraction. So he's very timely, sort of, because he was a week late still. And we live in this little town that's like kind of east of the main city. And it would be like a 45 minute drive just for distance. But since it was 6 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, we're like, okay, we're going to run into some traffic here when we need to go to the hospital. And I would just best describe my first experience, like with just, I was so naive about so many things. I didn't really prepare in a lot of ways I wish I had. My main preparation, like I didn't even do a childbirth class. I did read Ina Mae Gaskin's book, what is it called? The Guide to Childbirth, right? Yeah. So she, reading that book was honestly really great. And so I woke up at 6 a.m. to my first contraction, and from the start, they were every 5 minutes for a minute apart, or sorry, I said that wrong. Every 5 minutes, minute long. So I got to just labor at home. I was really excited. I went and took a shower just so that I can kind of relax and just ease into the whole process. My husband's like scrambling around in the house, and he like gives a red box movie to our neighbors to return for us because we weren't going to be able to do it ourselves. So I just remember he looked at me, and I probably labored at home like that. We had called the doctor and everything, and they just let us know like, hey, if it gets to the point where they're consistent for an hour like that, then you could probably think about coming in because of the distance that we'd have to drive. So he looked at me, and it had been about an hour at that point, and he's like, you know, we should probably go in. It's going to be a long drive, and it's already been an hour, and they're really consistent. I'm like, okay, we can do that. So obviously I wasn't really in like active labor, but I didn't know that before. So we go down, we were probably in traffic. The drive turned into a 45 minute drive turned to an hour and a half. So I guess it was good to have that time. And we get to the hospital. We had called his parents on the way. They actually like were rolling in at the same time as we were. We're walking in all together. And oh, and I also had my mentor there. She's like a mom to me too. She comes, and we get to the check-in table. They like get all my information. I go into triage. I wasn't quite at a 5 yet, which is when they, you know, check you in. And so they had me walk around the halls for a while. And I walked around for it felt like a long time. And then things were progressing pretty well and getting more painful, which is what you can expect. Basically, my birth with Caleb, I mean, a lot of it was just what you can expect for a first birth. And I know that. But when I got to have my daughter, just comparing the two, I realized a lot of things that I probably could have avoided. So at a certain point, they're checking me again, and my plug is starting to vacate the building, as you can say. And they're checking me, and they were like, okay, we can check you in to your room now. They weren't going to send me home, thankfully, just because they knew how long it took us to get there. So they didn't make me turn around and leave. And my doula had shown up right about the time that we were checking in to the hospital room. So it just felt like a flurry of stuff going on. And I didn't really know, like, I didn't feel like I knew a lot of what they were doing, what they were asking of me. They're hooking me up to an IV. They're getting me in the bed and having me sign all these papers. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And before this point, I had never had a hospital stay before. So this was all so new and just so confusing. And one of the nurses comes to me and she just puts her hand on my lap and she looks at me. She's like, okay, so our anesthesiologist is scheduled for a C-section at 1 o'clock. And right now it's 11:30. So you have maybe 45 minutes to decide if you want to get an epidural now, or you have to wait like something like 4 or 5 hours. And so her telling me that immediately made me afraid, because I was like, oh my gosh, this is so painful right now. Like, there's no way I'm going to be able to push a baby out with this pain. Like, this is going to get really bad. So I had this fear right away. So I was like, okay, let me think about it. And I think I took like 20 minutes to think about it. And I just went ahead and had an epidural, which honestly, like, I don't sit here with regret over that. But I think considering the situation, I wonder if it was just different, if it wasn't put to me in that kind of question, if I would have waited longer. I think I had hoped to see how long I could go naturally and unmedicated, but in the thick of it and in the flurry of everything, I was glad for the decision. I got to just relax in the bed, and all our family was able to be in the room with us. So it was a very joyful time in that regard. And I was really happy for that. So once in the bed and settled down, and the nurses would come in and do their regular checks on heart readings or whatever, it got to the point where they checked me and I was at an 8, and I wasn't progressing after like an hour or two from that point. So I got stuck at an 8, and they're starting to wonder about how to deal with all of that. Prior to getting to an 8, now that I'm remembering, actually, they had already discovered that my son's position was just, his head was down, but he turned his head just a little bit to the right. And so it was, that was the reason why I got stuck at an 8. And even with an epidural, which I didn't know they could do this, what they would do, other than using a peanut ball and having me turn every 15 minutes from side to side, they had me go on my hands and knees, oddly enough, and do this thing where they would spin my tummy with a sheet with my doula and have me shoot up in a standing position holding the back rail on my knees so that he would slink back into my belly while I was on my hands and knees. And then when I'd sit up, he would hopefully turn and change his position as he went back down. So we did that for maybe 25, 30 minutes to a point where it just didn't do anything. And then they checked me again. And unfortunately, at that point then, with all of the spinning, my cervix got inflamed from that. So I'm sitting in this hospital bed and they keep turning me side to side, which every time I was on my left side, I felt good. But then they turned me on my right side and I was in this excruciating pain that I would have to have them bring the anesthesiologist 3 different occasions every time they put me on my right side to give me a boost of the epidural, just to relieve the pain, because it was so bad every time they put me on my right side. So I know that that had to do with his positioning. I know that that had to do with the fact that I'm laying on my left side and all the fluid's going to one side. And so when I turn, there's nothing there. So the distribution of that was just not good. And so then now my cervix is inflamed and I'm stuck at an 8. So I probably was stuck at an 8 for like 6 or 7 hours. It felt like forever. It's well into the night at this point. And I had a nurse and a midwife. My actual OB wasn't there. I had the OB on staff, and I actually really loved her. She was really sweet and really comforting. So I appreciated her, but she just wasn't there for most of it. I mostly had the midwife that was there for the hospital. So the midwife comes in and she's like, okay, we need to do a monitor on your contractions to see if they are, if your body's actually progressing and contracting and doing what it's supposed to do. And with all of these scenarios, everything they come to tell me about what they're going to do, or they think that this needs to happen, whatever it was, my eyes would immediately go to my doula, and I would just look at her like a deer in headlights, like, what do I do? Just not knowing anything, really. I just felt so naive. And she would just kind of tell me what they're talking about, just in a different way, like just telling me what it means, because in her mind, I'm hoping that whatever they're advising, I just don't want any harm to come, or like they're not telling me all the risks or whatever it could be. So when they asked about the monitor, I'm like worried because they want to put it inside of my uterus, and I've missed a detail. My water had broke at a certain point in the afternoon prior to all the spinning and all of that. So it just broke on its own. They didn't have to break my water. But when they got to the point where they're wanting to check the monitor and see how my contractions were, I was just at that point really scared for a lot of reasons. I really didn't want to end up in a C-section. And so they just confirmed with me, like, we just want to monitor you for an hour and then get a good reading on how your contractions are doing. So they did that. And turns out everything is going as it should be. He's just in the wrong position. Ultimately, it was really his face was just turned to the right. That's what was causing so many of these issues. And I believe that my epidural really slowed me down as well. So I was trying not to get discouraged. And my doula was very comforting and just really encouraging to me. She's also a Christian, so she just can really relate to me with a lot of similar ways of thinking, or how to calm down, or just praying and to ease my anxieties. And it came to a point where it's like 11 o'clock at night. Our family had been there the entire time, and same with my mentor and my doula. So we have a group of like 5 or 6 people there. And she asks me, like, what do you want to do? What do you feel like doing right now? And I said, I just want to praise the Lord. I just want to sing some songs. And so we played worship, and all of us were singing in our like most tired sounding voices you could possibly hear. It's the most tired sounding choir you've ever heard. And the nurse comes in after we've sang a couple songs, and I just said, okay, everybody, I want to sleep. And she comes in, she's like, oh my gosh, I can hear you guys singing in the hallway. And I'm like, yeah, do we sound really tired? And she's like, yeah. So I went to sleep. I finally got to rest for like an hour, because, you know, like waking up at 6 a.m. to contractions, like I had a full night's rest. So I didn't really sleep throughout the day, just this too much energy going on. And finally I'm sleeping, and I was pretty exhausted. And I just wake up to the midwife coming in. She's like, okay, I'm going to check you. And she said, it's time to push. So I was just so ecstatic. I felt like the Lord really just had favor, and we finally moved on from an 8. And she said that my cervix actually had gone down to, wasn't inflamed anymore. So unfortunately I pushed for 3 hours. It was way longer than I think it should have been. I did feel some pressure when she told me it was time, like, okay, you're at a 10, let's get going. But I think maybe his positioning with his head wasn't totally down. I forget the terminology for that, the station or something like that. But anyway, so I pushed for a while. I just remember that part being like time kind of stood still. I didn't notice the length of time, but it just was really grueling and tiring because I don't know really how to do this. I think the first hour I spent was learning how to push. So that whole time was really just uncomfortable, really painful, really exhausting. I felt like I wanted to dry heave the whole time. And I kept pushing my button for like my drugs to just help me. I was hurting so bad, but it was all gone. But finally, you know, my son was born and he was on my chest. And I just remember lying there like so bewildered and just like, what even just happened? What did I just do? This was awesome. I just did that. I can't believe that came out of me. Like, just so out of it, like filled with epidural. You know what I mean? I later learned she had told me while she was stitching me up, because I did tear. Unfortunately, I had like a 3-degree tear. But she told me, she gave me an episiotomy and I tore from that. And I didn't want one of those. I thought I had written in my plan and expressed to my doula as well that I didn't want one. And they ended up giving me one. My doula had asked the midwife, like, why did you do that? Like, what was your reasoning for that? And she kind of like brushed it off, kind of like, oh, we just couldn't tell how big his head was going to be or whatever. And I had even asked that they not cut the cord or clamp the cord until it was finished with pulsing so that he could get all the blood. And they just went ahead and cut it without even telling me as well. So I was a little annoyed about those things, especially because, like, I didn't want an episiotomy. I feel like you shouldn't do that to somebody's body unless you tell them you're going to do that, but whatever. So, my son was born, and that was max 23 hours of labor and pushing, and it was quite the labor and a lot of work, but I am so thankful he was born. He's healthy. He didn't have any problems. He was a pretty large baby, like just under 9 pounds and like 22 inches long. So he was a big boy. But I will say my husband and I both, when we were born, I was 11 pounds when I was born. And my husband was 10 pounds. So I think I lucked out there with just getting almost 9 pounds. So, my son was born and it was wonderful. So fast forward to October 2019, I find out I'm pregnant again. And this time we were in Puerto Vallarta. So I was once again out of town and not at home. And I found out I was pregnant while on vacation. And so my husband also knew before me because we were in Mexico. I bought a test thinking, oh, maybe I'm pregnant. I should probably find out. And it was one of those fancy clear blue ones that tell you in words, like not like with a sign. And it said it in Spanish and I didn't understand Spanish. So I gave him the test and he read it and he's like, you're pregnant. And I'm like, once again, you knew before I did. Okay, so I'm like pregnant again. That pregnancy with my daughter was so hard. I was nauseous till almost 20 weeks. And when I was around 16 weeks pregnant, or I was actually 17 weeks going on 18 weeks, I believe. It was January of this year. I actually got such a bad stomach bug and had been throwing up for hours and hours straight, couldn't keep any water down to the point where I think my body was so dehydrated that it was throwing up because it was, I was throwing up because I was so dehydrated. My husband called the doctor and they said that I had to go in. So in January, I had to, I was 17 weeks pregnant and I had to stay in the hospital to get fluids. So we went to the emergency room, they checked me in. But then after a few hours, then they ended up putting me in an actual hospital room and had me stay the night. But once I got there with the fluids, I was actually, I didn't throw up anymore. I was actually so much better. That was really what I needed, was fluids. But they actually kept me for 2 nights, 2 whole days. And I was so upset about that. They wouldn't let me go home. They were checking my heart rate and my blood pressure. And my heart rate was high, my blood pressure was low, like pretty low. But my husband and I observed over the course of every time they checked my vitals that anytime a nurse or a doctor came in the room, it was like my anxiety was just up through the roof. Like my heart rate went up and my pressure was low because I had been sick, you know, and I just was recovering. And also they wouldn't let me sleep. I just could not get a stretch more than an hour. They kept waking me up. They wanted to give me the sonogram test on my legs to see if there's a clot, which I understand because I'm pregnant. But they thought that that's why my pressure was messed up and my heart rate was so high. But really, they wouldn't let me sleep. And all I needed was fluids. So I was so upset after that experience that by the time, like, I just didn't trust being in the hospital. I think I felt like they just are trying to keep me here. Like, I don't want to stay here. I want to go home. By the time in March, when the world shut down because of COVID-19, we're so happy about that, right? At that point, when I had to switch over to all these telehealth visits, I just was like not wanting to do the hospital again. Up to that point, I had just been planning on basically the same birth plan of going into the same hospital and all of that. But once everything shut down and I had to move my appointments to mostly telehealth except for blood tests and whatnot, I just was feeling more and more nervous about going into the hospital. Mainly because everybody's going to the hospital right now, even if they don't really need to, just because they're worried about, oh, I might have COVID, and they're getting tests and whatever. So it's like there's more exposure. And then there's all these rumors going around about, like, they're taking mom's babies away when they're born or whatever. And then which I don't know if that's 100% true, but if a mom had gotten a positive test prior to giving birth when she was admitted, then they, I guess, sometimes consider taking the baby away from the mother. And I just did not want that. I thought that that would be the worst thing that they could do, even if I was sick. That's just my opinion. So, and in addition, to top it all off, you know, like, my husband and my doula were like the people that I really needed by my side for my son's birth. When I found out my doula could not be there, I just was like, this can't happen. I really don't want to wait out and see, because I was due in June, to see what's going to happen. So I had my 30 or 32 week telehealth with my OB. And on that call, I was asking questions, what their policies would be like and blah, blah, blah. And he basically was like, I just cannot give you real straight answers because we don't know. Our policies change on the daily. So after hearing that, that just gave me confirmation. I'm like, okay, this is just not my plan anymore. I can't go there. So I called my doula and I told her what I was thinking. And she definitely gave me the nudging and the encouragement that I needed to start doing my own research with looking into other options. She sent me some referrals for birth centers. She sent me links and videos to watch for how to birth a baby unmedicated and all these things. And in my heart, I knew that, like, this really was the way I wish I had done things with Caleb anyway. So COVID just kind of pushed me to finally make that decision for myself, to have the strength and be empowered to say, yes, I am going to do this. So I ultimately passed all my medical records over to a birth center and picked got some midwives, and I just completely changed gears in the month of April. And from that point on, I was just gearing up for a completely unmedicated natural birth in a birth center. So I just was like, as soon as I made that decision, I just had this amazing peace come upon me, because I just had so much uncertainty and worry leading up to that point. But once I decided this is the way I'm going to do it, I just was so at peace and excited. So every single day I'm doing something, like either listening to your podcast or watching videos or having phone calls with people that are willing to do just like tell me their stories, or doing FaceTimes with childbirth teachers. And my prenatal appointments were still over Zoom, or occasionally like on at their clinic. So there was that, which is good. I got to meet them in person as well. But my midwives, I just love so much. I had three midwives, and they rotated throughout the other appointments and all that. So I just really appreciated the way they did things. They told me, they gave me a lot of resources and wanted to explain all the risks and benefits for different procedures, for, you know, vitamin K, or for group B testing, and all of these different things, to basically just lay it out for me, like, hey, we want to be a resource. We want to give you the information. We want to tell you what to expect, and we want to let you choose how you want to do things. So I just love that so much. So much prior to that, like I explained with being in the hospital prior, I just was so worried about just not knowing what they're going to do, or why they're doing the way that they're doing things, and why aren't they telling me all the details, and just going about it. And when I passed over my medical records to the midwives, they read through the hospital transcript of the birth for Caleb. And I kid you not, they did not record that they gave me an episiotomy. They didn't put it in the medical records whatsoever. And then they said I only had a level 2. And I was just like, that is so crazy. Why would they lie about what happened? And anyway, so my midwives were just like, yeah, we're not like that. I was so thankful. I expressed to my doula and the midwives that I just wanted to avoid tearing as much as I could. And, I had made a birthing playlist. I downloaded a hypnobirthing, album that I found on iTunes. And it was kind of just that, like, oh, I'm at a massage kind of music and all of that. I actually was going to a chiropractor as well, because I had really bad sciatic pain, nerve pain, that it would make my right leg go numb. So as soon as I started going to a chiropractor, that was probably the best decision I could have ever made. And coming up to my due date, which was June 16th, I actually, funny story, had a dream on my due date, because obviously I was not in labor. I thought I would start labor like a month early, because I had so many Braxton Hicks, so many false starts. My body was just constantly doing stuff to me. I was miserable. And so I hadn't gone to the chiropractor in a few weeks. And so I just called him up, because on my actual due date, here, let me rephrase that. So on my due date, my air conditioning units in my house, which we're talking middle of June, were having massive heat waves where I live, and something died under my house and smelled like dead animal in my house, and it was leaking through my air vents. So what they did was, I mean, they removed the animal, but like it still stank so bad for weeks. And so finally on my due date, they're like, here, we'll give you this ozone machine that you can use to clear out the vents. The only thing is, you can't be at home for 10 hours. And then after you're done running it for 10 hours with all your house sealed up, then you have to open up your house for like a couple hours and then you can go home and it'll be fine. Well, I'm sitting over here and I'm like on my due date and they finally give me this thing because I rent where I live. And and I'm like, okay, well, we can't stay here. So we go down to my in-laws and run it for 10 hours. And then we pack up my son and me and my husband. We come back to our house thinking we can come spend the night. Well, my husband comes in the house and it reeks of like chemicals and he's opening up the place. He comes back outside to me and he's like, we can't sleep here tonight. Like, I'm going to look this up, but we're going back. So we go back. We're sleeping in their guest bed for the night. And he finds out, like, okay, I'm really glad I listened to my intuition because we could have woken up all dead. It's literally like as if you had, I forget the word, but those detectors in your house for carbon monoxide, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could basically be the same thing. So we just left our house completely open, all the windows to air out for the rest of the night. And I'm sitting in my head, like, freaking out and angry, like, I'm going to go into labor tonight. I'm not even going to be home to labor at home. I was just like, this better not happen tonight. But I had this dream that I was laboring in the middle of the night at my in-laws' house in this guest bed. And I'm dreaming that I'm laboring in my sleep. And I'm, like, tossing and turning, not sleeping well, thinking I'm in labor, and my doula and my midwives were in the room with me, and there's just like the flurry of people going around. And then in my dream, I'm taken into the bathroom to get cleaned up because I guess I gave birth, and I come back in the room and someone had dressed my daughter Vera in this like Minnie Mouse outfit, and I'm looking at her like, what the heck, I hate this outfit, like, who dressed her? And my doula comes up to me and she's like, she weighs 10 pounds and you pushed her out in 7 minutes. And I'm like, what? And I look at her in my dream and she just looks at me and I think, oh, she looks like a Kantos. That would be my husband's side of the family. And then she just looks at me and she goes, hi. Like, what is happening right now? So I wake up, we go home. I still don't have labor. I'm thankful because I get to be at home. Because at this point, I've learned that I don't want to tear when I give birth. I want to try and be at home as much as I can. I'm going to try and keep my room dim. I'm going to play my playlist. I want it to be relaxed. And since I slept in that guest bed, though, I think that that was just, like, the Lord's blessing to, like, get me into the chiropractor one last time. So following after that on the 19th, so that was the 16th on my due date. On the 19th, I went to the chiropractor. My back was so thrown out from sleeping in that terrible bed that wasn't mine. And he adjusts me. I think I cracked in every part of my body, but it was the best. And mind you, just a side note, like, the chiropractic care was not like cracking me all the time. It was very gentle. They're very good at what they do for pregnancy chiropractic. But I just was like really out of balance. But that night at midnight or like 12:30, I went into labor. So I chalk it up to him putting me back in alignment and just being finally at rest. But I woke up to the feeling of right at like 12:30 at night, I woke up with this feeling like someone punched me in the stomach right on my belly button. So I shot up like, who just hit me? And I just felt this gush of water in the bed. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, my water broke. So I'm hitting my husband awake and I'm like, Wes, my water broke. And so he gets up, he's trying to find a towel and walk me over to the bathroom, and I'm just like, I feel like I'm leaking everywhere. And he brings me to the toilet, and I'm sitting on the toilet, and we call my midwives and they're talking to us, And he is telling them about, like, we're talking about the color, the smell, and like how it looks and all that. They want to ask about the fluid and whatnot. And then they're telling me, okay, so you probably won't start labor for another 8 to 12 hours. So go ahead and go back to bed, drink lots of water, get some rest, and we'll hear from you soon. Just keep us, you know, posted and keep telling us about what's happening. They're telling me like 8 to 12 hours. In the back of my head, I'm thinking like, there's no way it's going to be that long. Cause up to that point, like, I had been checked. I was already at a 3, and I have been having Braxton Hicks like every single day. I swear to you, my stomach was rock hard like every other moment, just doing these Braxton Hicks, and it was crazy. So I try to go back to bed, and I lay down. My husband's trying to go back to sleep too, because he's obviously tired. He's like wanting to get sleep. But I'm just kind of like, my brain's on alert. And sure enough, maybe 45 minutes, I started to contract. And I was so excited and just like really at peace and just so ready. So I put on my timer on my phone just to see how long they were. And my first 2 or 3 contractions were kind of just like gentle nudging contractions that, I mean, they were obviously labor. I knew the difference, you know, like this is labor, but they were like gentle enough to where I'm like, okay, this is go time. And so I just kind of gently woke my husband up again and said, hey, you know, I've contracted a few times now. I think things are starting. So he called my doula and she started to head up. And then he called my in-laws. And they came up because my son's here, you know, they're going to take him with them. Little did I know. So at that point, you know, my doula showed up, and then my in-laws came, and they basically arrived at the same time. And Wes has started to play my playlist for me. We've got the closet light on that I have, so the lighting's nice and dim. And I'm in my bed. I'm in the place that I feel most comfortable. And I'm kind of just like getting to the point where these are picking up really fast and I'm moaning through it. And it's like, but I'm keeping peaceful in my thinking and just doing the mind game, you know, and I'm visualizing like a flower opening and closing with each contraction, breathing through it, being calm, keeping my eyes closed, just trying to stay focused. And he's warming up my heating pads that I had made so that we can keep my back labor at bay. I knew from my last labor with the right side constantly hurting me that a lot of my back labor was focused, you know, in my back. And so I just wanted to have those on hand. And I was really glad that I had the knowledge to make those. So like I was saying, my doula and my in-laws show up at the same time. And my in-laws just made up camp in my living room, just started camping out. I thought they were going to pick up my son and take him home with them like right away. But they're just like sleeping on my couch. Just like, you guys realize I'm like in my room moaning. Like, how do you sleep through that? And I felt like for a split second, just kind of annoyed. Cause I have like nothing on but a t-shirt, like no underwear. I mean, my water broke. So I'm like walking between my room and the bathroom occasionally thinking like, I hope they don't see me naked, but whatever. But at a certain point, obviously I just stopped caring. And my doula did this side lying release for me when she got here, immediately comes in the room. And she's having me do a side lying release where I lay on my side in my bed, on the edge of my bed. And I hang my top leg over and keep my bottom leg straight. And she would press down on my hips and kind of a little bit into my side of my stomach, but mostly in my hips. And I kid you not, every time when a contraction would come and she'd press down, it's like she cut the pain in half. It was the most relieving and best thing ever. So I'm just so thankful for her and her knowledge just for what to do. Doulas are amazing. Everybody needs a doula. That's all I have to say. So I would flip from side to side while she'd do that for me. And so this is our system. We're in it. You know, she's having me do my different positions and she pressed down. That's basically the only position we really did. We didn't really end up needing a rebozo. She didn't really need me to do anything else or do any different positioning things because it was just like very straightforward. But my labor was really picking up fast. I think by the time people were showing up, my contractions at that point, right at the beginning, were really only like 2 minutes apart, 3 minutes apart. So I think from the start of my labor, it was about, oh, like an hour in, I already felt kind of like this need to, like this pressure. And I felt nauseous. So I just wanted to go to the bathroom. And so I went to the bathroom and I was actually really thankful for this. My body just decided to get everything out. So like I just took care of all of that, everything. And I was just like, okay, this is great. Now everything's just out of the way. Now I can just focus on getting a baby out. And I go back in my bed. And after laboring at home from the first contraction at about like an hour and a half in, she looks at my husband and she's like, okay, we should probably pack up. Why don't you call the midwives and tell them we're coming? And I'm thinking like, really? It hasn't been that long. Like, don't we want to try and like stick it out? Like we can't go in until I'm at a six. Like I really don't want them to turn me away. But she's a smart lady. So I'm like, okay, let's do this. So my husband packs my little ice chest because I was going to encapsulate my placenta, a bunch of snacks, our hospital bags, our go bags, microwaves both of my heating pads, and then we're going to the car. I sit down in the car. She puts a heating pad in front of my belly and on my back, and I have my little bucket because I just had been wanting to throw up already. Like I was pretty much there. And she had these awesome little like gadgets. I forget what she called them, but they're kind of like those they just kind of like, I don't even know the name. There's those like little electrode pads that stick to your skin. And I don't know if you've ever heard of those.
Oh, yeah. Was it a TENS unit?
Yeah, I think so. So she put like a couple of those on my stomach and on my back, mostly on my back because I had mostly back labor. And she just let me hold on to that and have it for the car ride. So my birth center was also pretty far. It was still less time than the hospital from last time, but it was essentially just based on distance, a 45-minute drive or 40-minute drive. But we're talking like this is 3 a.m. There's nobody on the road, so we're flying. We're driving. Oh, and I forgot to say, she looks at my husband when we're getting in the car, and she says, if anything changes, you need to pull over right away. And I'm thinking, oh dear God, I don't want to have a car baby. So we're driving to the birth center and I'm just telling my husband, please just run the red light, run the red light. We're running all the red lights. We get stuck behind a semi at one point. And I'm just like trying my hardest to just stay focused and getting like stay in that space in my mind that I was in at home. But the car ride was definitely the worst part of it all. Like, it was really stressful for me. And my contractions were so close together. I had a lot of them on the car ride. And anyway, when we got there, I mean, we made that drive in like 25 minutes, I'm sure. It was like really fast. I was really glad for that. And my doula and my husband and I, we all walk in. And the midwives were there. They were waiting for us. And we get into the room. And they're just doing their version of a check-in. They're kind of just, like, getting my blood pressure and heart. And they also had to include like doing the finger thing, like checking the oxygen or whatever that's called, the oximeter. Mm-hmm. They added that just because I guess depending on your oxygen levels, it could tell them if you might have COVID or not. So they were just being careful about that. And thankfully, they don't require the mom to wear a mask while she labors. So I was just free to breathe, and but everyone else had to. So I immediately, when I get in, go into the bed, and they're doing everything. And I was in that side lying position just waiting for Ginger to start because that's what I needed. And looking back, I was in transition pretty early on. So they asked if I wanted to go in the tub. And I said, yes, please, because that was the thing I was thinking about the whole car drive, just getting me through it. Like, I can't wait to get into that water. So they started filling the tub for me. And while I waited, it was probably like 20 minutes. We just kept doing the side lying. And at this point, like, it was really intense. My back labor was so intense. They kept rotating my husband kept rotating the heating pads for me. And I was basically like mooing like a cow to kind of just open up my mouth and keep my jaw really loose. I learned that when you keep your mouth like loose and open, like that's basically translating to keep your cervix open and everything opening up. And another thing that I was advised on was using the J breathing method later on just for pushing. So I'll get into that later. But the tub was finally ready and we moved into the tub, and I immediately wanted to be on my right side. So I made that connection from my first labor that like, oh, I guess I just prefer my right side. This must have to do with the back labor that I experienced. And no one had checked me up until I had gotten into the tub, I believe. So they checked me and they didn't tell me a number. They're just like, everything is really soft and opening up and you're doing really, really well. We're just going to keep an eye on you. We're going to give you more time. So they left the room again. That was the midwives. And the whole time I'm just having, while I'm in the tub, my husband is right there on the side of the, or like at the head of the tub where I can kind of hold on to him and squeeze onto him and hold him and hug him while my doula is just pressing with all her might into my hips with every contraction. And I'm barely getting any breaks. Like even from the start, like drinking water and getting drinks of water in between, it was pretty rough. Like it was hard to manage like anything, like speak what I needed or whatever when people would ask me questions, because everything was just so boom, 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 boom. And my contractions started to kind of build on each other almost barely a minute in between when I even got in the water. Like you hear about people slowing down when they get in the water, but I just never had a moment to just have a break. So at one point my doula asked me, she's like, do you feel like you want to go into any other positions? Is there something that you feel like you need to do? And so I turned onto my knees and was face down on my knees and then hanging, kind of like leaning against the end of the tub at that point. She slipped me some honey in a straw real quick, and I managed to get a little bit of that, managed to get a quick sip of water. And she's just kind of like running the hot water down my back and kind of soothing me that way, because my back was just so intensely, like I felt like my body was just vibrating with just this powerful contraction. Like it was so insane. It was amazing, but it was just like hard to just wrap your head around. Like, how do you make sense of what's going on? And I had at one point just had like a weak moment and a thought, and I just said like, gosh, I was thinking like, why would I decide to do this? I just want an epidural in my head. And then I just said out loud, like, how do they do this? And my doula says, who? And I'm like, women. She's like, she's like, shut up. I'm like, okay. And she's like, you've done this. And I'm like, I know. She just told me. This just means that she's almost here. And I'm like, okay. So my husband later tells me, like a week later after she was born, he told me, like, yeah, when you told her that and she said that you were almost there and she's going to be born soon, I looked at her and I just mouthed the word. I was like, really? And my doula just kind of shrugged her shoulders and was like, I don't know. So she's amazing, though. Like, she just says what you need to hear. So it wasn't that much longer, though, when I just went through another contraction and I just immediately felt that need to push. Like, it was so intense. So my doula goes to the midwives and lets them know, like, she says she needs to push. So they come in, they check vitals real quick, check on the baby, and they checked me and they're just like, all right, let's do this. But when they said, okay, like, we're going to start pushing, I was like on it, like ready to go. My contractions were pretty much doing all the work and my body was just like evacuating my baby like so quickly. But they were like, no, you need to slow down. And they weren't coaching me like they were at the hospital. I was coached to push with my son Caleb, like every contraction, hold it for 10 seconds, hold your breath, like hold your knees up, do all this stuff. But with them, I'm on my knees. I'm right where I want to be. I get to decide how, what's it like, feels most comfortable. And I was doing the J breathing method, which basically you're visualizing the letter J. And I would breathe out as much as I could breathe out and then really fast breathe in and then breathe out continually, just trying to have just a continuous breathing out so that there's no moment for me to close again, essentially. Just breathe the baby out. So that's what I was doing. I was trying to breathe the baby out, but they were telling me like, okay, with this contraction, you're just going to hold her head there. We're going to let her stretch you and just sit there, hold her there. So I'm like several times wanting to just push her out, but they're telling me to wait. And I am just like, this is the most self-control I've ever had to have in my entire life, because this, my body wants to get rid of this baby and they're telling me to wait. So they had me do that 3 or 4 or 5 times, just hold her there and hold her there. And I would kind of just let her go back in. Finally, the last time they had me hold her there and let her stretch me. They're like, okay, on the next one, if you're ready, you can push her and just do what you need to do. So when they told me that, and I felt at the end of the contraction after holding her there, it's like I felt her suck back into my tummy and kind of rustle up to get ready to just jump out. And I just had this thought, like when I felt her do that, like she's working with me. So I was just so excited. And when they gave me the go ahead, I was ready. So I pushed her out to the point where she like shot out like a cannon into the water. And I even have the video where the midwife kind of is like a little bit scrambling to catch her. And caught her underneath and just kind of turned her around, brought her above water, and had to help me like bring my leg around, because the whole time I was on my knees. So I had to turn around, bring my leg over her because of the umbilical cord, and they laid her right on my chest and she was born. And it was the best thing ever. I was so alert. I just felt this euphoria of love and just so excited and disbelief of what I just experienced. And she's had this sweet little cry. I remember my son just like screaming his head off like an angry German when he was born. And she just was like on me, this sweet little thing, just this dainty cry. And she was so pink and smelled amazing. And I just remember that warmth on my chest. And I love that, like, they never took her from me. I got to have her for hours and hours. Well, I mean, I made it sound like forever, but for a few hours before they finally did all the, like, weighing and checking on her. She latched right away and was nursing, and it was just so beautiful. I was told that the second time around, you know, a lot of moms experience a lot more cramping for the afterbirth, and I definitely had the craziest cramps right when she was born. So that was probably the one thing that I just was, like, not expecting. Because up to that point, like, I just felt so prepared in a lot of ways and so ready and just had everything in mind of what I was going to do. And that part just, I think, just threw me off. But it wasn't so bad. They did delayed cord clamping for me, which is what I wanted. So we waited in the tub until they did that. And then I moved to the bed so that I can birth the placenta, I guess. Do you say birth the placenta? I don't know what you say for that.
Yeah, that works too. Some people say deliver, some people birthing gotcha. Is birth the placenta. That is very appropriate as well.
Okay. I'm like, I don't want to sound silly. So that part was really hard because I don't have any contractions helping me out. And I don't remember that with Caleb. I just remember them basically pushing on my stomach a lot and seeing this bucket in the distance where they're basically taking it away. And I just don't remember. So when they were like having me do that, I basically felt like I was just trying to push with absolutely nothing in me. So that was really hard, not my favorite. And, thankfully, you know, there's no bones in the placenta. So then they took me over to, you know, they have you go to the bathroom, like right around, like within the first hour after you give birth. And, this part I was just so excited about because when my son was born and I was delivered to postpartum, taken over to postpartum, the nurse has you do the same thing. When I had to sit on the toilet and they were like showing me how to do all the things with the pads and all of that, I had to sit on that toilet after pushing for 3 hours and having the worst tear. I thought my insides were going to fall out. But when I sat down after delivering my daughter, I sat down and it felt totally normal. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I like said it out loud and they look at me like, what are you talking about? You're just going pee right now. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like I was full on expecting this to be incredibly painful and it's not. So I was really happy about that. All in all, my whole birth with her was just under 4 hours from like first contraction to when she was born. And I only pushed for 15 minutes. And guess what? She was a chunky little monkey and she was born at 10 pounds exactly. And when she was born, I actually thought, oh my gosh, she looks like a Cantos. So I just think it's so funny how I would dream that on my due date. But, you know, in my dream, I had dreamed that I pushed for 7 minutes. But I just think of it like if they hadn't kept me from slowing down, I wonder if it would have been only 7 minutes of pushing because it ended up being about 15. So yeah, like it's just funny looking back on that story and thinking how perfect it was. I was just really blessed to have my daughter and to be able to birth that way and things just go as well as it did. I forgot to mention even just prior to labor and all of that, my midwives were really trying to monitor my blood pressure and my edema because my swelling was really bad in the last few, like in the last month and a half. So they were worried about some of that for me. Anyway, all things worked out in the end and it was just such a blessing. And now I have this cute little 4-month-old that's just like so filled with joy and so sweet. She's my little Vera, and I feel like I have a forever best friend.
Totally. I have two daughters of my own, and like, there's just, I mean, sons are, I have four sons too. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's a different bond, but like,
it is.
Having a daughter is like, it's such a really unique and amazing experience. Like, it really does. I mean, they do feel like your little best friend, like in the making. Like, I just have big dreams for my, for when my daughter like becomes an adult and stuff. I'm like, oh, I just know that I hope we're forever close, you know. And I am very, obviously very close with my children, but it's just such a fun thing to experience. So I definitely can relate to you on that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your story, the way that you told, like, so many people tell their stories like very differently, and they're just like, some people, they have their own way of like sharing details and stuff. And like your story, I was like, I was sitting here and I felt like I was there. Like, I was like, you just painted a really good picture of like how things, you know, went down. And so like, I almost felt like I was there. Like, you were walking me through this dream of like how things were like happening and stuff. So that's really, I really love when like stories like that come about, because I can really get like sucked into that. It's like, it's almost like a movie, like when you're watching a movie and you're just like, oh,
yeah.
So you did a really good job on sharing the details of your story. I do have a few questions for you.
Okay.
So you had mentioned that you encapsulated, or were going to have your placenta encapsulated and stuff. Did you go through with that? And if so, do you want to share your experience with whether that made any difference for you postpartum or anything?
Yes. So a couple things about that. To be honest, I did not realize that it was helping me at first. So I did end up encapsulating. And I was actually really curious. I asked my midwife, like, hey, can I see it? Like, can you show it to me? So she brought it out to me while we were resting. And she was showing me like the bottom side and how you measure it. And she told me that like mine was actually pretty large. So I have a friend who encapsulates, and so she did it for me for a pretty good price. And she brought it to me within like 2 days of my daughter being born. They requested that she doesn't do anything with it for like the first 24 hours, just in case there's like an issue with the baby, and then they'll do like a genetic testing on the placenta. But thankfully, you know, that window passed, nothing was wrong. And so she brought it over after like another 24 hours. And I started out on like a higher supplementation, and then you kind of taper down to about like 2 to 1, basically, however you want it. And because mine was so large, it lasted me like right up until my daughter turned right at 4 months. So, at first I didn't notice any, big effects, but I honestly, like, now that I look back, you're still going to experience some crazy hormones no matter what. Like, it helps with that, but I still had my little episodes of big emotions, like just crying and like not really knowing why I'm like worried. I think I'm a type of person to kind of tend to be a little fearful. So that's kind of like my vice a little bit, that I just regularly want to work on. So I'd have little moments of that, not so much worried about like my baby so much as just like, whatever, you know what I mean? So, my supply was amazing. It came in, I think, earlier because of it. So it definitely helped with my milk and, my mood. I actually, after like about 2 or 3 weeks, I started noticing if I skipped on accident, that I just felt a lot more easily frustrated, with my son, you know, cause you're transitioning with, like, I transitioned with having 1 to 2. So I just would lose patience with him. But if I remembered to take my pill that day, that like my mood was just a lot better. I felt like I had more energy for sure. And then what I ended up doing is I would just take it in the morning, and that was it. I would do one or two in the morning because I would actually be so energized by it that if I took it later in the day, it would like keep me from sleeping. So the typical things with the milk supply, the mood, and I didn't really have any baby blues. I know with my son after he was born, I think I was pretty depressed like for months. I think after that first year, I looked back and I thought, you know, I was depressed for like 8 or 9 months and I didn't even realize it. I had no idea. So this time around, just so much is different. It's like night and day between both of the kids. Not even just because the pills, like, because I basically advocated for myself and was willing to do more education and just make the change of how I wanted to go about things. I just felt really empowered by that. Like, you know, I mean, so often it's easy to just kind of say, you know, it's fine. It'll be fine, which it ends up being fine. A lot of people are fine with what they just don't decide on, but I was really happy that I did decide on something. And from that, you know, I don't think I'm experiencing really not a lot of depression. Like there was like in the first week, like I said, but this year, even with everything that's going on, and then on top of that, having a baby, I find that I'm hitting my goals so much easier because I got through something so hard and so intense, and it was for like this short amount of time, but it was really intense. So anyway, the pills, definitely I will do that again with the next child because I do want another one.
Perfect. So with, is there any like specific products or resources that you found useful that you want to note?
Yes. So with my baby, the Haka pump is really helpful. I've used that with both kids and I really love it for like on the go or just to get the letdown on the other side while I'm nursing on the other. So that pump, I love that it's so easy to clean. It's just one piece and I almost never use my electric pump because I just hate it so much. I hate cleaning it. I will use it if I have to, but I prefer this one for sure. And then I just will throw it out there just for birthing or like preparing for a baby. If you can make it work, I highly recommend having chiropractic care. For pregnancy, my back pain was so bad. Like I'm talking, I felt debilitated. Like when I'd get up in the morning, like I could barely walk or stand up straight. So going to the chiropractor was such a relief. And even if, you know, back pain isn't a problem, I know that it helped me with labor, like, so much. My labor was really quick. It put me into labor. And her position was perfect. I didn't have any issues with that. And I didn't even tell you. I tore, like, barely one or two stitches in the end. I mean, she was a big girl. So the fact that I managed to barely tear and have no real issues was like a major plus for me. So yeah,
definitely. Well, I think that I'm so thankful that you reached out and wanted to share your story. Especially, I feel like it was a good story to share, with, you know, what's going on in the world right now. I know that, a lot of people have honestly like contemplated, if not actually like went through with it, contemplated swapping care, you know, so they don't have to, you know, because a lot of women are, you know, being told that they can't have their doulas and they, you know, they can't have the births that they're wanting, even when they want, you know, if they've chosen a hospital birth, they're not able to have the births that they want. And I think that what's really important about your story is that you're living proof that you had such a different experience with your first birth that wasn't during a pandemic? And then, like, I mean, you were pretty fairly late in your pregnancy, still swapped care, and, you know, you had the birth of your dreams. Like, I just find that really empowering and just like a really cool, like, glimmer of hope for other ladies who may be pregnant at this point and are kind of on the fence, whether, like, you know, or maybe they're, you know, they could be early in their pregnancy and they're just not really sure what direction they want to go. Like,
yeah,
I just feel like your story was really important to important to share, and that I think there will be several people that find that really, really useful for their decision making. So thank you so much for reaching out and wanting to share with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And I'm really glad for the opportunity to hopefully encourage others.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, if you do have baby number three, we will be expecting.
I will definitely let you know.
Yes, we definitely, whenever anybody, one of my guests, like, say that they're going to have other babies, I'm like, you know, you need to come back. I'm going to need to follow up on this saga because I'm invested now. Again, I appreciate your time so much. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Hey, y'all. That's all the time we have for this episode, but be sure to catch up on all of our episodes on your favorite podcast platform. If you or someone you know are interested in being a guest on our show, find us on Instagram at From Bumps to Birth, or you can message me, Ricky Hamley, on Facebook. Thank you so much for your support and listening. And until next time, I am your host, Ricky Hamley.